Hello, this is Jensen Franklin, and thank you so much for joining us for this week's podcast. Our goal is to provide you with biblically based teachings that will challenge, inspire, and equip you to live for Jesus. If you haven't already, I'd love for you to go ahead and subscribe today to this podcast so you can get the latest updates from us and you don't ever have to miss a new message. Let's go right into the service. Recorded at Free Chapel. I believe it's going to bless you today.
John chapter 16, verse 7. I'll be reading from the Passion Translation. It says, but here's the truth. It is to your advantage, notice these words, that I go away. This is Jesus speaking. For if I do not go away, the divine encourager will not be released to you. But after I depart, I will send him to you. Notice it said the divine encourager, speaking of the Holy Spirit. In James chapter 4, verse 5, it says this in the Passion Translation. Does the scripture mean nothing to you that says the spirit that God breathed into your hearts is a jealous lover who intensely desires to have more and more of us? Isn't that something? It said the spirit that God has breathed inside of us desires, who intensely desires to have more and more of us. Isn't it always amazing that we focus on how much more of the Holy Spirit we want, but here the focus of the Holy Spirit is how much more of you he wants. He desires more and more and more of us. I want to talk to you about that this morning, that word, the divine encourager, which describes the Holy Spirit. Understand the success of our Christian life here on earth. Our ability to walk in victory, our ability to maintain a life that is truly successful and fulfilled according to the word of God and the eyes of God will be directly connected to our relationship with the Holy Spirit. Understand, of all the things that Jesus could have talked about, who went in great detail before his departure, before his crucifixion, in John chapters 14, 15, 16, and 20, he emphasized the importance of the Holy Spirit and a relationship with the Holy Spirit to his disciples. He knew that if there's going to be something that they needed to have settled in their heart and grasp a hold, a real understanding of, would be their relationship with the Holy Spirit. Understand the single most significant event in the birth development of the early church was the coming of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. Notice in our text in John chapter 16, Jesus said these words. He said, it is to your advantage, the scripture said, that I must go. Remind you that he's talking to the disciples. He's telling to them, you don't realize that it's a must that I leave from you. But in their minds, they didn't really see it that way at that moment. They had been accustomed to Jesus walking with them and talking with them and being there with them. They had become so familiar with having this great mentor, this great leader personally there in their life. They saw his miracles. They seen him raise the dead. They seen him cast out devils. They seen him preach and teach with great authority. They seen him guide them and direct them and even pulling things out of them that they didn't know that they had within themselves. And now all of a sudden, Jesus is saying to them, I know that you've been accustomed to seeing me in this form and fashion. And I know you've seen a lot. And I know you've experienced a lot. But he said, it is to your advantage. Notice that I go away. In other words, if you think that you have seen it all now, you need to understand there's going to be even greater when I make this transition. My God. Understand what Jesus was saying, that in this transition that I'm about to make, I am going from limited to be limitless. Right now, I can only be here with you, one place and one time with this certain group. But once I depart, the scripture said that now I'm coming back in a form that I can be with you, 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 I can be in Spartanburg, I can be in Cumming at the same time, I can be at Midtown, come on, I can be at Braselton, I can be at Gwinnett, and I can be all the way over on the West Coast at Free Chapel, Orange County, all at the same time, speaking to different people, moving among different people, healing and delivering and setting captives free. It'll all happen simultaneously. But as long as I stay in this form, it cannot happen. And what Jesus was saying is to your advantage. I want to say what Jesus has said to the disciples, it still rings true today for the church of the living God, for those who are blood bought and born again, those who are followers of Christ. Understand that with the power of the Holy Spirit operating in our life, we have the advantage. I'm going to say it again, we have the advantage. I know the world may seem crazy. I know these are dark times, and it seems like we're in a constant uphill battle with the things of the world. But what we cannot do is just kind of get a mindset or a mentality that we're some poor, pitiful church. We're some weak-minded people that use Christianity as a crutch, and we don't know any better. Well, I need to tell you that when you understand that what Jesus Christ has left unto us and given unto us, it has put you and I in the advantage place. I'm not talking about stuff, and I'm not talking about things, and I'm not talking about necessarily materialisms, but you need to understand that the divine encourager, the Holy Spirit, puts you and I in the advantage place. I just want to declare, you are not a victim this morning. You are a victor if you are in Christ Jesus. You are the head and not the tail. You are above only and not beneath. Yes, you are blessed. Yes, you are highly favored. And some of you are looking around because you have limited the blessed life to things and stuff. I want to declare, if your name has been written in heaven and you've been blood bought and born again, you have the richest life that you could ever have. And one day, heaven will be your home, that you walk on streets of gold. And come on, somebody, and enjoy throughout all eternity the blessings of our God. We are not a defeated people. We are a victorious people. Thanks be unto God, the scripture said, that gives us victory through Christ Jesus. You are not walking to victory. You're walking from victory this morning. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, I need 10 people to say amen, and I'll move on. Jesus said, it's to your advantage that I must go so the divine encourager can come. It would be your advantage. There has to be a departure in order for there to be a deposit. There's got to be a separation in order for there to be an impartation. Something has got to be, watch this, released in order for something to be received. And he said, and when I leave, I'm moving you from disadvantage to advantage. There's coming a deposit and an impartation in your life that's going to take you to the next level. And you need to understand that's how life is sometimes. Some things can't come until some things go. You can't grab a hold of some things until you're willing to let some things go. Paul put it like this, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching to those things which are before, and I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling. There's a higher calling that God is calling you and I to, and it will come by the power of the divine encourager. Understand, the divine encourager comes, the Holy Spirit, oftentimes in different types and shadows. The Bible said he comes in the form of rain. What do you mean? The Holy Spirit, through the prophet Joel, reveals that these rains are types and shadows of the outpouring of God's Spirit. In Joel chapter 2, the Bible said that the former rain and the latter rain God will cause it to fall in the first month. And then in verse 24, it says, as a result, the threshing floors, listen to this, shall be full of wheat, and the vats shall overflow with new wine and oil. And then he said in verse 25, I will restore the years that the cankerworm, the palmerworm, and the locust have eaten. Rain, the symbolism, represents a time of refreshing and a time of restoration. When he talked about the latter rain and the former rain falling in the same month, the former rain was what prepared the ground. The latter rain is what hastened the harvest. In other words, when the Holy Spirit gets involved in your situation, notice this, he knows how to expedite things. Things that would have taken 10 years, the Holy Spirit can do it in 10 days. Things that have taken, years to do, he knows how to do in minutes. When it speaks of refreshing, it speaks not necessarily someone that has been backslidden or someone that's in sin, but it represents if you've gone through it, if you're in a season where you just feel dry, you're in a season where you feel kind of just routine and mundane. That is not the will of God for our life. How many of you know that when we go without rain for a while, the grass kind of turns brown, the grass kind of starts looking a little dry, but you and I both know it doesn't mean that the grass is dead. Because the moment a good shower comes down and hit that lawn, it's, oh my God, it's amazing how quick it'll green up. In other words, the refreshing power of the Holy Spirit, even though it may look like it's dead to others, one encounter in his presence can take what looked like was dead and gone and bring fresh life and fresh vitality and fresh strength. I want to tell you there's a refreshing that can come to your praise. Praise gets stagnant at times. Worship gets stagnant at times. Passion for God's house gets stagnant at times. There's a cure for that. I'm telling you, if you let the rain of his presence hit your life, it'll put a passion back in your praise. It'll put a fire back in your worship. It'll kickstart your prayer life like never before. He wants to bring refreshing. And the scripture said that he would restore. I love that. The Bible said in the book of Galatians that when a brethren is overtaken in a fault, he said, you that are spiritual, restore them. Consider in yourself lest you be tempted. That word restore, it means to put back together again. When a bone is broken, it's a medical term. It means that you, when you reset that bone back again in its proper place, it is scientifically and medically proven that once that bone has been set back and healed, it is stronger, oh God, after the break, my God, than it was before the break. In other words, now that it's gone through a season of brokenness, good God Almighty, and been restored, it's stronger than it was before it was ever broken in the beginning. Why am I telling you that? Because that's biblical restoration. God just doesn't get you back to where you were. God gets you beyond where you were. He doesn't want you just to be on your feet. He wants you to mount up on wings as eagles. He wants you to run and not be weary. He wants you to walk and not faint. Come on, somebody. I want to just declare today, you may have lost your job, or maybe you may have lost a job, but God's going to give you a business. Come on. You may have gone from employee to employer. We serve the kind of God that says, I'll do it greater. I'll do it bigger. I'll do it. Come on, somebody. Because I'm God, I will restore. He can restore the family. He can restore marriages. He can restore dreams. He can restore. We serve the God of restoration. Can I get 10 people to say, come on, a big amen, and I'll move on. Woo.
Some of you are here today because he restored you. Everything looked like it was going to be over. Everything looked like it was going to be dead and gone. Even the devil counted you out. But look what the Lord has done with your saved self. Look at you now. Now you're looking good. Now you're smelling good. Now you're living life. Why? Because God restored you. Come on, somebody. Give God praise for restoration.
He comes like rain. He'll come like a river, the scripture says. Ezekiel 47 talks about the river, which represents three things the Spirit of God does. The Bible said that river in Ezekiel 47, that river, it healed. The river made the seawater pure when it flowed into it. That same river revived. Everything that the river touched was transformed into transformed with its life-giving power. And then the Bible said the river brought fruitfulness. Everywhere that great river flowed, fruit sprang up. What am I trying to tell you? When the divine encourager comes as a river flowing through your life, he will revive, he will heal, and he will bring fruitfulness in your life. And when I talk about fruitfulness, I'm talking about the fruit of the Spirit, but also I'm talking about the favor of God that can come upon your life as a result of the divine encourager. John chapter 7, Jesus stood up and said these words. He said, he that believeth on me, like the scripture said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. This he spake of the Holy Spirit that had not yet been given because he had not been glorified. When it talks about becoming a river, can I tell you this? The Bible said out of our belly or out of our inner man, the divine encourager, watch this, does not just want to fill us. He wants to flow through us because rivers become conduits of water that transport it from one location to another. God wants you, come on, not to be selfish with the encourager, but he wants you to be a source of encouragement. He wants to flow through you to bring refreshing. He wants to flow through you to bring reviving. He wants to flow through you, come on, to touch somebody with the love of God. We were not filled just to be filled, but we've been filled to become a flow. And boy, do this world needed. Can we be a church full of rivers, come on, flowing out into society and culture with the presence and the power of God? And understand, he's a river. He's a rain. I'm going to give you one more. He comes. The divine encourager comes in the likeness of fire. The scripture said this. I love it what it says that John the Baptist said, I will baptize you in water into repentance. But there comes one after me that will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Jesus. Malachi said he's like a refiner's fire and a launderer's soap. That's important. What do you mean? And Isaiah calls the Holy Spirit the Spirit of burning. In other words, the Holy Spirit comes to refresh. He comes to restore. But he also comes, watch this, to refine. The refiner's fire, it doesn't meant to destroy. It's not a fire that's out of control. But it's more like a torch that is used specifically and accurately. Why is that important? Because in this process, this goldsmith process where the refining fire is used, they would take the gold and they would take the metal and they would melt it down. And once it was melted, watch this, then it was able to be molten. But there was no molten until there was melting. Some of us are too hard. Some of us are too hard-headed. Some of us are too hard-hearted. Some of us are too stubborn. And what God has to allow is the spirit of burning to come sometime to take you from a hard state to a molten, to a melted state. Yeah, you're literally having a spiritual meltdown, but it's not to, oh God, it's not to kill you. It's not to destroy you. It's not to tear you down, because only when there's a meltdown, watch this, the impurities are able to come up.
because it's only when the gold and the silver is melted down that the impurities rise to the surface, because to the naked eye, you can't see things deep down inside. But if some things will only come out in the fire. Oh, God. But it's not. Oh, God. That's how much the Holy Spirit and the divine encourager loves you and me, because he don't want to leave us in a place. Come on. That is beneath what God has called us to be, because sometimes you got to realize that God is not looking at us where we are, like where we are, but he's looking to where he desires to take us. And there's some things that are in us now that will hinder us from stepping into that. And he says, I got to get rid of that right here so that it won't kill you over there. And it looks like a setback, but it's really a set up. And I'm not burning you up, but I am burning some stuff off. If you don't believe me, ask the Hebrew boys. When they were thrown into the fire, the Bible said they were bound in the fire. But the scripture said the king looked down and he said, wait a minute. Hold up. Wait a minute. He looked down and said, didn't we not throw three men bound into the fire? How is it that I see four? Four men, listen to this, loose, walking around in the fire, and one looks like the Son of Man. See, the presence of Jesus is the Holy Spirit. It was the Spirit of God in the fire with the Hebrew boys. Why was he in the fire? Because the scripture said when they came out, they did not smell like smoke. There was no stench of smoke. Their clothes wouldn't burn. Their hair was intact. Their shoes looked good. And the only thing that was different, the scripture said, what was binding them had been burnt off of them. And when the Holy Spirit comes, he says, I'm not trying to burn you up, but I'm going to burn some stuff off. I'm going to burn that bad attitude off. I'm going to burn that bad character off. I'm going to get rid of that lack of integrity. Oh, come on, somebody. I'm going to burn hatred off. I'm going to burn anger off. I'm going to burn bitterness off. I'm going to burn unforgiveness off, because it, come on, the worst thing, oh God, than being an unbeliever, I believe, is to be a bound believer, someone who's living in freedom but walking in bondage. So he said, I didn't come to burn you up, but I came to burn you, burn some things out. That's why he said, when you walk through the fire, it shall not burn you. When you walk through the flames, it shall not consume you. But when he has tried me, Job said, I shall come forth as pure gold. That's gold. James said, he said he's a jealous lover who intensely desires. Notice what he said. To have more of us. I want more of you. I desire more of you. I want more. His desire. One translation put it like this. I love what it says. It said it like this. It says, the divine encourager inside of us who longs desperately, listen to this, desperately desires to fulfill, listen to this, his responsibility to the Father to help us, teach us, guide us, and empower us. The Holy Spirit said, I intensely desire, I got to carry out my responsibility. The Father, Jesus, let me just, real quick. Jesus said, all that I have, the Father has given unto me. When Jesus walked on the earth, he said, I'm here to bring glory to my Father. Well, when Jesus left, watch this. Jesus said, I'm sending the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will take what is mine and give unto you. And he will glorify me and testify of me. What am I trying to get you to see? The Holy Spirit's assignment is to take what Jesus had, which ultimately began with what the Father gave him. And now the Holy Spirit said, it's my responsibility to give it to you. See, oh God, Jesus, he gets us to heaven, but the Holy Spirit gets heaven to us on earth. And he said, oh God, are you hearing me? This is why we got to cultivate this relationship. He says, I have an eager desire to fulfill my responsibility. The calling of the Holy Spirit is to ensure that we be everything that God has called us to be. And the question is, will you allow him to do his job in your life? Holy Spirit desires, listen to this real quickly. He desires to seize every area of our life. The scripture said that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit and we are not our own. He wants to invade every area of our being till we are no longer in control. The Holy Spirit does not want us to live in the limitations of our own strength and ability. That's why Zechariah said, it's not by our power nor by our might, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. He desires to seize every area of our life. The scripture said he desires to seal us. The Bible said in Ephesians 1 that you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Listen to this. Who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the day of redemption of the purchased possession. And what it's talking about, he's a seal. It was a seal of guarantee. And during these times, oftentimes letters would have a seal placed upon them. They would be put in an envelope and they would have a seal put on it and it would be stamped. And when anybody saw that seal, it said several things. Number one, to handle with care. Number two, watch this. It makes sure it gets to its destination. And number three, that seal represented, this is sent from someone of higher authority. Oh, God. When the seal that we, God said, I send my spirit to seal you. I desire to seal you. What it's saying, that it's my responsibility to make sure you get to your destination. It's my responsibility that you are covered, God Almighty, in my presence and my anointing. That when people see me through you, they recognize they are not their own. But whoever this is, they belong to a higher power. And oh God, you're not hearing me. And I'm not talking about the world's higher power. I'm talking about God Almighty, Jesus Christ. And when they see the seal, it is a guarantee that you'll get to your destination. I want to declare today, if you will allow the Holy Spirit to lead you and help you and guide you, I promise you, you will get to your destination. The devil is lying to some of you that says you're never going to make it. You're never going to come out. You're never going through. That is a lie from the pit. If you have the divine encourager living on the inside of you, you are sealed and you shall get there. I need 10 people to give God praise and I'll move on. And the Bible said he wants to seal. Watch this. He wants to seize. And can I say this? He wants to steer. This is my last point. John 16, 13 says, however, when the spirit, listen to this, of truth, the truth-giving spirit has come, he will guide you into all truth. Notice that. And they can come to the music. He will guide you into all truth. Lead you and watch this. If you can be guided in truth, you can be guided in lies. He specified. He didn't just say guide you. He said guide you in truth. Watch this. As the divine encourager, he's not, watch this. He's not a travel agent. He's a travel guide. You know the difference? I come to realize, and excuse me if you're a travel agency, a lot of travel agents have never been to the places they're trying to sell me to go. But they've been trained so good in their presentation to make you think that they've been there 12 times. And a lot of them had never moved from that computer. They'll be like, oh, there's a nice restaurant on the coast here. There's this. Oh, and on their menu, and normally on this, they don't memorize the menu and everything. You know what I'm saying? But see, but a travel guide doesn't. See, a travel agent will always give you information about places they've never, ever been themselves. Oof. That's why we got to be careful. Don't become travel agent Christians, that we're able to tell people about Jesus. That just came out. I'm sorry. You trying to tell me about places you ain't gone in the spirit. You trying to tell me about things about the Bible that you don't even obey. But the travel guide. The guide is someone who understands all the specific details of the place that you are desiring to go. And they know it so well. They know the shortcuts. They know the back roads. Come on. They invented the Waze app. They know what to avoid. They know where to go and where not to go. And they know the best route on how to get you there. And when the Holy Spirit desires to guide us, He's saying, I know where the Father wants you to go. I know where the Father wants your family to go. I know where your career is supposed to go. I know where your ministry is supposed to go. I know where your business is supposed to go. Somebody need to hear me. I know where your marriage is supposed to go. I can guide you in that relationship. I can guide you in that business transaction. I can guide you in that major decision, because I know the best route for you to take. And yes, God cares about those details of yours and my life. And He said, I'm the God. And if you'll yield to me, and if you'll follow me, I can get you there to the place that you're supposed to be. And sometimes the road, I don't know, I remember going, I've been on trips, and I remember going to Israel one time, and they start taking, I was like, where are we going? I just knew I was going, just die. Anybody know what I'm talking about? People take you on back roads and it look crazy, and man, this don't look nothing like what they told me this is gonna look like. You ever been to a resort on a vacation and all the ways they get you to there, and my God, you think you're gonna get killed on the way there. But then all of a sudden it opens up to this beautiful plush place where there's sanded beach and sunshine and palm trees. But when you were on the journey, nothing looked like the destination. Matter of fact, it looked contrary. And I'm preaching to somebody this morning, because you're on the journey and right now nothing resembles the promise. Right now nothing looks like what God told you. But I'm here to encourage you through the divine encouragement. If you will let the Holy Spirit guide you, He will lead you to the place of victory, and you will show up at the right time, at the right place, doing the right thing that God has called you to do. If you believe it, give Him a shout of praise. Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. He wants to lead you and guide you in all truth. And it's important that we be guided in truth in a time of deception and deceitfulness. I end with this story right here. The Bible said this. I mean, not the Bible. I heard a story of a preacher who talked about he had a vision in his home one night. It was a bright light. It was a vision of Jesus came into his room. He said this presence, this whole presence and feeling of overwhelmment came. And he said everything in him said to bow down and worship. Bow down and give glory. And he said the moment he started to bow down, the Holy Spirit said, where's his scars? And he looked at the image, and it had no scars. Because the Bible said when Jesus was resurrected in His image, we're going to see those nail-scarred hands.
And the Holy Spirit said, where's his scars? There were no scars. And he said, Satan, I rebuke you. And in that moment, boom, the image disappeared. How was he able to survive satanic and spiritual deception? The divine encourager who leads us and guides us in all truth, helps us to see what we can't see and helps us to hear what we can't hear. And we're living in the times we can't live in the limitations of our own ability. We need discernment for our lives, for our families, for our decisions, for our choices. And guess what? We have the advantage through the divine encourager if you allow him.
I really want to say thank you for joining us this week. If you haven't already, make sure you click on the subscription button and leave us a review. It helps this podcast reach even more people when you comment, when you give us your feedback. For more messages and inspirational materials, download the Jensen Franklin app, or you can head over to jensenfranklin.org. I want to thank all of you who give generously to help us produce weekly content like this to reach the world with the message of Jesus. God bless you, and we'll see you next time.